RCE at 107.7 FM, W299 CD, Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The U.S., the U.K., and several other nations launched retaliatory airstrikes tonight against Houthi targets in Yemen.
The intent here is to take out any Houthi military capability that would allow them to continue these attacks on commercial shipping within the Red Sea. The U.S. and the U.K. don't want to go back again.
ABC's military contributor and retired Marine Colonel Steve Ganyard. Another avalanche at a ski resort in Northern California, this time at the Wolverine Bowl section of Alpine Meadows. 45 states are under alert for extreme weather, including blizzard conditions. But this Kansas woman isn't worried about it.
We are making sure our heat's working. And we're making sure that we have lots of extra blankets.
There's also a tornado threat in the Arklatex area. The House could vote next week whether to hold Hunter Biden in contempt of Congress. Republicans say the president's son defied subpoenas that are part of their impeachment inquiry into his father. This is ABC News. Factory workers at Tesla have been told to expect pay raises this year. It comes as the UAW has been trying to unionize workers at Tesla's U.S. plants. George Carlin's daughter is not happy about a fake George Carlin.
The comedy special is called George Carlin, I'm Glad I'm Dead, and we're told that it was written and performed completely by an AI comedy creation called Dudesy.
There are so many mass shootings in America, it's replaced bad traffic as the number one excuse for being late.
In the special, you just hear the AI Carlin, you don't see him, and it was done without Carlin's estate's consent. On social media, his daughter Kelly Carlin says no machine will ever replace her dad's genius, and suggests instead of listening to the AI Carlin, how about giving some actual living human comedians a listen to? Also pointing out that her dad has 14 specials you can find if you want the real thing. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
New Age Industries were calling millions of furniture tip kits or restraints because of plastic zip tie, and the kits can become brittle or break. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on News from the Center, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM WRCE, and on the Civic Media app.
Snow accumulations will be light at first.
When you need to know what to expect from the weather,
widespread throughout the southern half of the state, we're looking at 5 to 8 inches.
You can count on the Civic Media team of meteorologists, led by Brittany Merlot, to track the snow and the impact.
This will be a heavy, wet, slushy, sloppy snowfall that'll be heavy to shovel.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A task force created last summer is introducing 11 bills to fight human trafficking in Wisconsin. State Representative Jody Emerson is a co-chair of the Assembly Speakers Panel with a message for human trafficking victims.
The crime that you were a victim of does not define your life. It is one short chapter in the story that is you. And I think it is our job to make sure that we have the tools available to get them to a better and whole life.
It's not clear if any of the proposals will pass soon, since the current legislative session ends in a few weeks. More people in Wisconsin are enrolled in Medicare and Medicaid than ever before, more than 250,000 as of December 23rd. That's according to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The previous record was reached in 2017. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks need a win. They've lost 4 of their last 5 games. Tonight, they host the Boston Celtics. The two teams have been battling for the top spot in the Eastern Conference. NFL, the Green Bay Packers had a long practice this afternoon, but veteran defensive back Jaire Alexander hurt again in practice yesterday, twisting his ankle, stepping on someone else's foot during a jog-through practice. He's day-to-day going into Sunday's game against the Cowboys in Dallas. In New England, the owner of the Patriots, Robert Kraft, announcing that after 24 years, Bill Belichick stepping down as head coach.
It's a very emotional day for the organization. You know, the end of an era that'll be hard to be replicated, I think, at least in my lifetime, if ever.
Belichick making this statement.
You know, think about the Patriots, and I'll always be a Patriot, but at this time, we're gonna move on.
That's former Patriots head coach Bill Belichick with Sports on Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter storm warnings continue into Saturday. Snow developing late tonight to a low near 20. Then snow showers Friday into Saturday, heavy at times, accumulations 8 to 12 inches. Strong wind gusts above 30 miles an hour will create blowing snow. It's 25 right now.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. From Hillsboro to Highland, your choice for news, talk, and sports is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Tonight, snow possible with a low of 9, then Friday, snow likely with windy conditions and a high of 20. Nightingale is your cozy, comfortable neighborhood bar and restaurant at 26th and Lindale in Minneapolis. Come in for the famous Nightingale Burger or the Ginger Tamari Chicken Wings. View their menu or place a takeout order at nightingalempls.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up!
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Which means distant thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are right, Robert. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Historical Society Press and All My Relations Arts, presenting a book reading and signing of To Banish Forever, a secret society, the Ho-Chunk, and ethnic cleansing in Minnesota, written by Kathy Coates.
Yeah, big signing coming up on Thursday next week. We'll be doing a live show right from All My Relations Art, and we're really excited. And also excited to read this book again. And before we get too far into this of me blabbing, Haley, we have an update from the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Minnesota. And later on, we have the Governor of Wisconsin and the Lieutenant Governor separately giving us an update. So this is a real political Thursday. So without any further ado, you see, I speak French, too. Any further ado, let's listen to the great Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota.
Bonjour, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan here. It's hard to believe that it's 2024. We had a big year here at the Minnesota State Capitol in 2023, getting things done for folks all across our state. In the last 12 months, we protected reproductive freedom, increased voting rights and accessibility, legalized adult use cannabis with expungement, implemented a child tax credit that will reduce child poverty by a third, committed Minnesota to 100% clean energy by 2040, took action against gun violence, made housing more affordable, made childcare cheaper and easier to find, invested historic amounts in education, banned conversion therapy, brought Native education to school curriculum, provided every student with free breakfast and lunch, and gained a new state seal, a new state flag, and so much more. Not to mention that since the governor and I took office, our administration has been committed to strengthening relationships with all 11 tribal nations in Minnesota by traveling to tribal lands and meeting with the 11 tribal governments. And we put those words into action. In December, we made our 11th visit, marking the first time a Minnesota governor and lieutenant governor traveled to all 11 sovereign tribal nations in Minnesota for government-to-government meetings focused on honoring the independent nature of each separate nation and collaborating on our shared priorities. Making this 11th visit was a big deal, and I'm proud to celebrate this milestone, but it certainly isn't the end of our work. And these meetings are separate and in addition to the governor's tribal summit, where 11 tribal nations meet collectively with the governor and me, and separate from the ones that we hold with each tribe before the legislative session to learn about individual legislative priorities for each tribal government. Because as the governor often says, when tribes do better, our whole state does better. And I'm proud to set a new precedent for future leaders and the nation, because this is work that must be done and is required of us. Now, as the weather gets colder and we hear more people who are struggling with the rising cost of housing nationwide, our relatives experiencing homelessness or who are struggling to find affordable housing have been on my heart and mind. Providing the safe, stable home that every Minnesotan deserves does not happen overnight, but we've tried our best to ensure that we're working to help all families achieve stability and opportunities to grow and succeed. Because investments in housing are some of the best and smartest investments that we can make as a state. And we know housing stability and affordability is a catalyst to career growth, improved health and safety, mental health and well-being, financial stability, and economic growth and community engagement. We started 2023 with a historic $1.3 billion investment. Around 50% of the funding is for home ownership and rental development. This $1.3 billion includes funding for first-generation homebuyer assistance, forgivable loans to help more Minnesotans buy a home, emergency rental assistance for over 20,000 families, programs specifically designed to support children who have experienced homelessness, funding to build thousands of new affordable rental units and single-family and multifamily homes. And these dollars, coupled with other new cost-saving policies like our child tax credit and free school meals, will have a real and positive impact on families. Housing instability is all around us, from Greater Minnesota to Minneapolis and St. Paul. In fact, 640,000 families in Minnesota are cost-burdened, and a quarter of a million families in Minnesota are paying more than half of their income on housing. That's a lot of money not going to other things like food and clothing, education, medical care. So our housing investments will not only provide a safe and stable place for folks to call home, but will help families save money and achieve long-term financial security. And when it comes to our Minnesotans experiencing homelessness, Commissioner Jennifer Ho from Minnesota Housing Finance Agency often says this: shelter saves lives, but housing ends homelessness. Which is why I was excited to recently announce $350 million to preserve and create over 407,000 units of housing across the state in 2023 through our annual housing project selections process. This is the largest investment we have ever made in this process by $100 million, and these projects will create over 7,000 annual jobs. I'm especially excited about the projects we selected to fund that are being built by and for Native American Minnesotans, like the 28 multifamily units being built by Red Lake Homes, or the 212 units being rehabilitated by the Little Earth of United Tribes in Minneapolis. Most importantly, we know that housing needs to look different for every person. That's why we're investing in the entire spectrum of need, from rental support to home ownership. And finally, as we approach the new year, I want to highlight just a few of the many new laws taking effect on January 1st, 2024. First, the brand new but long overdue Earn Sick and Safe Time law went into effect on January 1st because the governor and I know that life happens, the good, the bad, the ugly. But, you know, if you wake up and your child is ill with a fever or you are sick, you shouldn't have to choose between taking care of yourself and others and a paycheck. This new law will provide all employees, part and full time, with 1 hour of earned paid time off for every 30 hours worked. So employees can use this earned time off when they're sick, caring for a sick kiddo, or in a situation where they need to take care of themselves with regards to an issue of domestic violence, violence, assault, or stalking, because everyone deserves paid time away from your work to grow and to heal and to live. And when you come back to your job, well, your job should still be there. Our new state law eliminating the gender and racial pay gap is also now in effect, because in Minnesota, white women make 81 cents on the dollar. Asian women make 70 cents on the dollar. Black women and Indigenous women make 61 cents on the dollar. And Latine women make 55 cents on the dollar compared to their white male counterparts. This is unacceptable. But in 2024, we're going to put an end to this kind of discrimination. This new law by the Minnesota Department of Human Rights prohibits employers from asking about or considering a job applicant's past or current pay during the hiring process, because research shows that it's a big way in which employers get away with continuing this cycle of discrimination. We can and must live in a state where men and women, no matter their race or ethnicity, have the same opportunities to succeed. And this is one big way we're going to make that goal a reality. And finally, there are numerous new changes to renters' rights in 2024, like a mandatory 14-day eviction notice, right to legal counsel for public housing tenants, a right to end a lease for a medical emergency, non-optional fees must be disclosed by landlords. All of these and more are another big part of ensuring that every Minnesotan has a safe, affordable place to call home and brings us one step closer to being the best state in the country to raise a family. All that to say is that 2023 was a historic year in Minnesota, but none of this was possible without all of you continuing to make your voices heard, coming to the table, coming to the Capitol, calling, emailing, and just generally showing up to ensure that you are bringing us your stories, your ideas, and staying engaged, because democracy is what we make it. I'm so grateful to be your Lieutenant Governor, and I can't wait to see what 2024 brings to all of us. Gitchimiigwech. And until next time, back to you.
Hey, thank you, Lieutenant Governor. Wow, always a great update from the Lieutenant Governor, and getting fired up here for the next session and all the great work she does. We're proud to have her on our show every other week here. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're going to be right back after this short break. Ho-wah.
As we pack away the ornaments and bid farewell to the holiday season, it's time to unwrap the gift that keeps on giving, getting protected by a COVID-19 vaccination. This is your chance to make a difference, especially as our Native communities face higher COVID numbers. Those higher numbers underscore the need for collective action. So answer the call and get vaccinated. The latest vaccines are not just authorized, but they're proven effective against the current variants. This is extra protection, even if you've already had previous vaccines, since previous vaccines will eventually wear off. Plus, the new shots are FDA approved for ages 6 months and up. A COVID vaccine is not just a shot. It's a pledge to safeguard the wisdom and stories handed down by our elders. So join the movement, get vaccinated, and make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov.
Hi, I'm Claudia with MinSure, Minnesota's official health insurance marketplace. With MinSure, you can compare health plans from multiple companies and get free help from a trusted expert. Whatever health plan you choose with MinSure, it's guaranteed to cover essential benefits, so you can get the care you need. See if you qualify for discounts, available only through MinSure. If you need quality, comprehensive health insurance, get started now at MinSure.org.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we have Robert Lilligren with us. And before we get heavy talking about what's going on politically, I love having Thursdays of political. We had your sister Peggy give us a great update in the first segment. And now, before we get to you, Robert, we'd like to get a short update from the governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers. So why don't we take a listen?
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Folks, 2023 was a big year. I kicked off 2023 by declaring it the year of mental health and took special care all year long to promote open and honest conversations around mental health and invest in support statewide, including in our schools and our 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. I also spent the year meeting with childcare professionals, educators, business owners, and local leaders, and I visited clinics, schools, businesses, farms, you name it, to hear from Wisconsinites how we can work together to do the right thing for our state. And before I knew it, I visited all 72 Wisconsin counties, my fourth time doing so since becoming governor, because the most important part of my job as governor is getting out of the Capitol to meet with Wisconsinites where you are and to hear about the issues that matter most to you. Additionally, this summer, I proudly signed a budget providing generational increases in state support for local communities and investing more than $1 billion in public education. We also made one of the largest investments in workforce housing in our state's history, invested in fixing our roads and bridges and addressing PFAS, supported Wisconsin farmers and veterans, and provided tax relief to working families, among several other critical priorities. From investing in shared revenue to keeping the brewers in Wisconsin through 2050, I worked across the aisle to get things done. And when the childcare industry was facing an imminent collapse, I directed $170 million in emergency stopgap funding to stabilize the industry, help providers keep the doors open, and support working families through June of 2025. Folks, 2023 was a busy year, but we all know our work is never finished, and I can't wait to do it all again in 2024. Here's to another year of working to do the right thing for Wisconsin. Happy New Year, folks. Thanks for listening. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Wow. And back to Robert Lilligren. Welcome, Robert. It's always great to hear update from the governor of Wisconsin. And we put tobacco out for them because that's a purple state. And boy, he's saving a lot of good things and doing a lot of good work over there in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Bonjour, Robert. Bonjour, Haley. It's so good to see you. So good to be with you. And it's so good to hear from Governor Evertson. And it's good to see the kind of stature and respect your programming has there. But you're right. I mean, absent his occupying that governor's office, it would be pretty grim in Wisconsin right now.
Yeah, he's visited 72 counties, he said. In the last segment, we had your friend, dear friend and sister, Peggy Flanagan, report that her and the governor have met with all 11 tribes this off-season. I guess it's called an off-season before legislating. That's impressive.
I think it's very impressive. And I like this with Governor Evertz visiting all the counties, and our Governor Waltz and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, our whiter sister, visiting the tribes, and they get around, right? And I think in elective representation, you know this as an elective representative yourself, being present just matters so much. And I remember the first Minnesota politician I ever heard that visited all, I think it's 87 counties in Minnesota, was now Senator Amy Klobuchar.
Wow.
She did that during her first term in office. And, you know, she was a big city representative. She went from being Hennepin County, which is our biggest county here in Minnesota. It's where Minneapolis is. And she was the county attorney, right? An elected position before mm-hmm. she became senator. And I remember thinking, well, that's pretty cool, you know, getting mm-hmm. to every county in Minnesota. That shows, it shows something, right? Some commitment to the state and to the people.
Yeah, and that you're not hiding, and I think that's one of the reasons why she gets reelected at such a high percentage. She's out there with the people.
Yep, she is one of the most popular politicians in Minnesota history, and she gets elected with incredible margins.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I can't wait. And again, I don't think Peggy listens to our show every day, but I can't wait until she's our state senator. All right, I said it.
Well, you never know. You know, she is right. Going places. I remember meeting her back in the early 2000s during her first school board campaign and helping on that mm-hmm. campaign. And I remember thinking at the time, oh, this young woman is so impressive. She could be our governor someday. And then mm-hmm. I thought, hell, she could be president someday.
Well,
to governor. So we'll see where she's going.
And we reported on this, I believe, but she is like a big wig. Well, let me back up a second. 2016, she was the first Native American politician to speak at the DNC. And now she's a leader of the DNC, correct?
She leads the Lieutenant Governor's caucus.
Okay.
Right? She's the chair. And then our Governor Waltz is the chair of the Democratic Governor's.
Yeah.
Caucus or association or whatever the name is, but it just shows, and we were saying this about a year ago as we were coming into 2024, preparing for it, I think Minnesota is going to end up playing an important role in the 2024 campaign, just because we have what we call the trifecta. Our governor's office, our state senate, and our state house are all controlled by Democrats, or DFLers as we call them here, Democratic Farmer Labor, and they've gotten incredible progressive things done. And I think that will show other parts of the country, look, when you have a unified government, you can do good things. And there are other states, Michigan is another one, but I think as our governor and lieutenant governor position themselves on the national stage like this, I think they're going to give it a little bit of a boost.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, some crazy stuff going on as usual. I mean, the weather's crazy, but also Donald Trump's crazy. And I don't know if you saw this, but this just came out a couple hours ago. So hopefully I'm not blindsiding you. But there's another state that he will not be on the ballot, not because of any political things, but because his people did not sign him up in time. Did you see that?
Now, that is news to me. I thought you were going to talk about his fraud trial. So,
we'll get into that.
What state is that? I'm looking now across my blogs here.
Yeah, I'll get back to that. Why don't we talk about it? Because I did see that come across my my phone news. And, of course, that could have been a dream because, I nap before the show.
At our age, huh? At our age.
Yeah, I feel like I can stay up till 10 now. But yeah, I'll get back to you on that on the next segment and find that because I thought that was really interesting. And again, it could have been a dream. I don't know. But it's just the more that he does bad stuff, the more support he gets from his mega crew. And yesterday, I guess I'm going to switch gears here a little bit, Robert, and talk about yesterday when Biden's son showed up out of the clear blue. And that was unbelievable. I think the Democrats need to be really applauded for how they spoke up and had the information about, not coming and not being subpoenaed and all that stuff. That just blew my mind yesterday.
Yeah, that was impressive. And then just how acrimonious the Republican members were toward Hunter Biden. And it was, no decorum. It was profane. It was embarrassing, really. And And man, his very presence really got under their skin.
Yeah. And then he got up when what's her name was speaking and left because of all, she was the one that like posted these naked pictures of him and did all these crazy things. And I would have got up and left too. I just thought this is, I don't think this is being reported enough because the Democrats really were ready to go. And it was really exciting to see. I think some of the younger ones that are being voted in now are not messing around.
Right. Nope. Yeah. And I guess I just have to say, why are we focusing on this? Why does this even matter? Everybody knows that Hunter Biden is a troubled person. He battles with addiction and has kind of a checkered past, but that's not the president, right? He's not running for anything. And when you have these criminal families that are front runners within the Republican Party, why are we focusing on this person? And, why is it Hunter Biden's laptop, right? 8 years ago, 2016, it was Hillary's
emails.
You know, right. That seems like mild stuff compared to what we're looking at today.
Definitely. And it's crazy because, you know, his whole deal was, yeah, you know, let's do this out in the open. And they wanted to do it behind closed doors. And some of the legislators, the Democrats, mentioned all these names of people that did not show up for, you know, I think it was January 6th stuff, and they did not show up to their subpoena, and they're just showing how much of a hypocrite they all are. It was beautiful last night to watch this.
Right, yeah. And that hypocritical stuff just... it used to kind of drive me nuts. Then I just kind of got over it. But now it's starting to drive me nuts again. And these Republicans defended their decisions not to.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The U.S., the U.K., and several other nations launched retaliatory airstrikes tonight against Houthi targets in Yemen.
The intent here is to take out any Houthi military capability that would allow them to continue these attacks on commercial shipping within the Red Sea. The U.S. and the U.K. don't want to go back again.
ABC's military contributor and retired Marine Colonel Steve Ganyard. Another avalanche at a ski resort in Northern California, this time at the Wolverine Bowl section of Alpine Meadows. 45 states are under alert for extreme weather, including blizzard conditions. But this Kansas woman isn't worried about it.
We are making sure our heat's working. And we're making sure that we have lots of extra blankets.
There's also a tornado threat in the Arklatex area. The House could vote next week whether to hold Hunter Biden in contempt of Congress. Republicans say the president's son defied subpoenas that are part of their impeachment inquiry into his father. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu says a plan to create state-run dispensaries for medical marijuana is a non-starter. Assembly Republicans included the dispensaries in their medical marijuana bill released Monday. Lemahieu says it goes against his goal of shrinking state government. He says that he still sees good things in the bill and that a compromise can still be reached. A new report shows that 25 S&P 500 firms with the highest paid CEOs perform worse than average. Rosanna Landis Weaver is a shareholder advocate.
We look at a period of history when America was a leader in creating solid middle class jobs, but also industry growth. Companies plowed back any excess money into the company.
Shareholders can vote against CEO pay packages, and some companies have changed their practices. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter storm warnings continue into Saturday. Snow developing late tonight to a low near 20. Then snow showers Friday into Saturday. Heavy at times, accumulations 8 to 12 inches. Strong wind gusts above 30 miles an hour will create blowing snow. It's 25 right now.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Historical Society Press and All My Relations Arts, presenting a book reading and signing of To Banish Forever, a secret society, the Ho-Chunk, and Ethnic Cleansing in Minnesota, written by Kathy Coates.
Yeah, that'll be Wednesday, and we'll be live there, Native Roots Radio, too, and there'll be book signing and selling, and we're really excited that Minnesota History Center and our friends at All Relations Art are getting together and really pulling off this really cool event. Robert, we're really excited.
Yeah, it should be good. We're really looking forward to it. We're getting all set for it, and it's an important event. So I'm glad you'll be there. I know you've been a huge advocate for this new publication, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, before we get going, you know, Robert, we're blessed to have politicians and former politicians like yourself, but you're still in the game, so we'll call you a politician, to come on Native Roots Radio. And we usually spread them out and we don't put them on all during your show. But tonight,
your show.
You're the main person here that comes on Thursdays, and this is, we consider our show your show. But anyways, we have the Lieutenant Governor's first time giving us a report from Wisconsin, and I think maybe we can just take a quick listen and then talk about that, and then maybe go back and talk about if that was a dream I was having.
Sounds good.
Great, excellent. Let's take a quick listen to the Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, and I'm joining you on Native Roots Radio with a wrap-up on 2023 and a look ahead in 2024. I had the great privilege of visiting all 72 counties of our state in 2023, meeting with small business owners, community members, and tribal leaders to discuss what's working and what they still need to continue building strong communities. And we began this year with a renewed commitment to make Wisconsin the best place for all of us to live and raise our families, no matter our background or our zip code. Working in public health and as a nurse has taught me that the medicines we prescribe are only a small fraction of what makes a person healthy. What really makes us healthy is where we live, the air we breathe, the water we drink, and if we have a family-supporting job to pay for food on the table and the medications we need. That's why my work as Lieutenant Governor in 2024 will continue to focus on increasing the availability of workforce housing, expanding Badger Care and healthcare access, solving our healthcare workforce shortage, and preserving and protecting our valuable natural resources. We have an opportunity to accomplish a lot for Wisconsin this year. I believe everyone and every voice is important, and that's why we'll be traveling to every corner of our state again in 2024 to make sure we hear from you. And I look forward to rolling up my sleeves and getting to work with all of you. I know many listeners of Native Roots Radio are neighbors in Minnesota, and I just want to give a shout out to Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan for her election as chair of the Democratic Lieutenant Governors Association. Lieutenant Governor Flanagan is the first Native woman ever elected chair of a national party committee. And I look forward to serving with her as a member of the DLGA Executive Board. The Midwest, Wisconsin especially, is going to be critical to the 2024 election. We're going to need all of us to register and to vote. A strong democracy is one where everyone has the opportunity to make their voice heard and to have their voice count. Unfortunately, we're seeing efforts to try to suppress turnout and restrict ballot access. Our democratic process should be welcoming and accessible for everybody. That's exactly what I and my fellow Democratic lieutenant governors across the country will be fighting for. And I look forward to seeing even more Wisconsinites at the ballot box this year. As we prepare to take on the challenges of the new year, I hope that you all were able to enjoy time with friends and loved ones during the holiday season and found a moment to reflect on your hopes and the vision for the year ahead. In the Rodriguez house, we have regular family game nights with two teenagers in the house. Scheduling events with them is the only guarantee they'll spend time with us. So over the school break, we used our family game time to put together a puzzle of Wisconsin, and I couldn't help but start mapping out my next trips across the state. I look forward to meeting you on the road this year to learn about your vision for our state and talk about how we can keep Wisconsin moving forward. We have a lot to do in 2024. I appreciate this opportunity to share with all of our Native Roots listeners what's happening in our state. I'm going to keep sending you updates. I'll talk with you soon. Back to you.
Wow, Robert, that was amazing. And that was also Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin, Sarah Rodriguez. Wow, really cool. And as you know, Robert, we're on Civic Media Network, too, all over Wisconsin. So this is really, really good and really timely for us to get the forces out for that. What used to be traditionally a blue state, kind of purplish.
Right. And I think it's important to acknowledge that these are executive level elected officials who care enough to reach out to our community. And that means something, or at least it means something to me. And so when they come looking for our help, they're not just coming 2 weeks before an election looking for your vote. They're here throughout their terms.
That is a super duper big point, because I know in years past, that's been a complaint, but what a really good point, Robert.
Thanks. And that, you know, at NACD, we have our ongoing project of civic engagement called Make Voting a Tradition. And early on through that, we heard from the community, you can't just come at election time. You need to be engaging us all year round. And so we've been doing that for, what, 8-9 years now. And it has really yielded impressive results, not just in voter turnout and voter registration, but in a level of civic engagement. And just today we were talking about how so many of our canvassers and other participants in Make Voting a Tradition will acknowledge how their involvement in MVAT, as we call it, has had positive impacts in their professional lives and their family lives and their civic lives. It's really rewarding work.
Absolutely. And, you know, I got to give you a quick shout out before I forget. I believe you've been on the show over 3 years. Does that sound right?
Well, about right.
And maybe even more, but we just celebrated 7 years here on Native Roots Radio. And I just I just have to thank you and all our other guests that come on. But, you know, it takes time. You're not getting paid for this, you know, and you're doing this. Well,
I did get that one T-shirt that one time.
Oh, I forgot to write that off. But I just want to give a big shout out to you, Robert, because I know we spent a lot of time when we were a 2-hour show once a week, and you spending time with us once a week and really bringing it home and having fun and talking and listening to me with you know, maybe in my Nevada caucuses, misrepresentation, being patient with me. And, you know, we have to give Haley an award to be patient. But I really appreciate you and these past years being on the show. And really, it's a big deal for us and our listeners and me.
Thanks, Robert and Haley. But thanks, Robert, for those kind words. And it's a pleasure to be on the show. And, you know, I always feel like through media, we can amplify our message and amplify our impact. And you do a lot in the community through your platform here. So much appreciated.
Yeah. And Haley, I know you feel the same way. And it's just a pleasure. And The only time we can't get Robert on is when he's at it on his secret camping out and with his husband up north, and we still haven't gotten an invite or any of that, but that's okay.
Yeah, camping sounds great. A huge shout out. Just the time that I've spent on Native Roots Radio and have spent with the employees and people that work at NACDI and all of the organizations, it's just such an upbeat, positive place whenever you're around, 1414, just hanging out at Powwow Grounds or at the gallery, or my favorite, the Four Sisters Farmers Market in the summer. It's just an amazing place, and I just props to you guys for doing the amazing work in so many different areas.
Thank you. You're very kind.
Yeah. I think you're a model of the whole country, and I know people come to Powwow Grounds and to that area when their natives are visiting all over Turtle Island. That's one of the stops.
And, it's so cool to have people from other parts of the country, Native people, because as you two know, we're right on East Franklin Avenue in what we call the American Indian Cultural Corridor, where there is this unusually high concentration of Native people, Native organizations that have impacted this geography in Minneapolis and have really claimed it for our own and are very protective of it and are promoting it as a cultural destination. And people from other parts of the country will come and they're like, man, we don't have anything like this in our city. We don't have a place you can go and know that you're in Indian country, urban Indian country. So it's a pleasure to do this work.
We did a show yesterday with Kristen McDonald in Minneapolis, and one of the things that came up that blew my mind, well, there was two things that blew my mind. One was that a lot of the roads in the Twin Cities are taken from Native trails in the past. I did not know that. The other thing is in Minneapolis, there's 130 different nations representative in the state of Minneapolis, or city of Minneapolis. I never knew that.
Yeah, well, and very broad, right? So it goes beyond the 11 federally recognized tribes within our state. But to that point about roads being based on trails, while I was in elected office serving on the Minneapolis City Council, transportation was one of my focus areas. And I'd look at maps of Minneapolis all the time, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, that went from the river to B'nai Mikaska. Oh, and that connected B'nai Mikaska to the falls, to Waumne Aumne. And so you could see that imprint still exists today on our city. It's very apparent.
Amazing. Again, happy anniversary with Native Roots Radio, Robert. And thanks for coming on, really. It's our pleasure to have you. And we always know it's going to be a great show when you're on.
Very kind. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Gigawab, I'm in.
We'll see you soon. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And up next, Roya with what's happening around the Twin Cities and Turtle Island. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Become a teacher and ignite change. Join the St. Paul Urban Residency Program to become a teacher in just 15 months. You can earn your master's degree and teaching license from the University of St. Thomas while earning a $30,000 stipend, single health care, and dental benefits. As an added bonus, next year's cohort, all residents will receive $20,000 towards their tuition. Apply now. Applications due February 28, 2024. Visit spps.org/SUTR.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, I'm Claudia with MinSure, Minnesota's official health insurance marketplace. With MinSure, you can compare health plans from multiple companies and get free help from a trusted expert. Whatever health plan you choose with MinSure, it's guaranteed to cover essential benefits so you can get the care you need. See if you qualify for discounts, available only through MinSure. If you need quality, comprehensive health insurance, get started now at MinSure.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations.
Host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis Air dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, before we get to our arts correspondent here, Roya White Eagle, Haley, we're running out of time, but what time of year is it right now?
I know. Well, it is the new year now. So, and I know for sure that health insurance can be a maze, but MinSure can be our compass in the state of Minnesota. They connect you with navigators and local brokers to simplify that process. Every plan that they offer guarantees essential health benefits. So be sure to visit MinSure.org to explore all of your options.
Hey, thank you. Hey, we have our arts correspondent, Roya White Eagle, and checking in. Great to see you. Welcome, as always, to Native Roots Radio. You got some new glasses there. I like those.
Yeah, Cuddy, how are you? All my relatives there.
Hey, so let's get going on. We had a little email or text back and forth about what's happening. Let's get right to it. There is a lot happening, not only in the Twin Cities, but all over Turtle Island.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, welcome or hello to both of you there. So if you want to just get started, I'm sure both of you caught the Golden Globes on Sunday night. That's sort of a national story with Lily Gladstone winning best actor for a female in a feature for Killers of the Flower Moon. My spouse and I, we went and reviewed that last week on my show, and I thought it was a really great movie. I thought she just took it away from all those big name actors and so deservedly on Sunday night to win that award. And then on Monday night, we had the premiere of Echo, who is a Marvel superhero played by, Alakwa Cox? She's nominated from your old part of the region here, Robert. And she is actually deaf and an amputee, and she plays that so wonderfully. I mean, she's so heroic in that. I don't know if you've caught those. That's on streaming on Hulu. So a lot of great national news there.
Yeah, excited to binge on that. A lot of things going on. And, you know, I just came back from New York and still a little tired, a little jet lag. But I think maybe tonight I'll crack it open. And there's things going on here in the Twin Cities and five-state area, too.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, right now, starting in a few minutes over at All My Relations Arts is My Louisiana Love. That's a documentary feature. It's by Monique Vardine. She is Huma from Louisiana, and it chronicles her community's struggle with climate change, the Gulf there sort of encroaching on their traditional homelands there, and the Louisiana Delta there. So that's over at All My Relations Art. I don't have the address there, Robert. I should have that memorized by now, but it's a free event. She's also going to be participating. I'm not sure if that's by Zoom or a stream there, or actually is it here in town, but she's going to be answering questions. So if you get a chance, you might want to check that out. That's a wonderful venue there, as we all know.
Right. It's 14th. Help
East
me.
East Franklin Avenue.
East Franklin, thank you. I got the numbers right.
Mm-hmm. Well, also then, this is Saturday night. We have Corey Medina, who's Dene, but he's relocated to Bemidji area. One of his significant other is Anishinaabe from there. And Annie Humphrey, who was Leech Lake Ojibwe. And they're going to be in a double bill over at Cedar Cultural Center. And that's 16th. Avenue. That's it costs the tickets are running about $24 to $29 a piece. That starts at 8 o'clock. If you're not listening to Corey, he's really a great representative of the rock and blues genre, and the same with Annie, although She does mostly movement music, as I refer to it. So a lot of references to Native issues, Native topics. So that's going to be a wonderful concert. It's been a while since Corey was in town, so you might want to check that out as well.
And yeah, definitely.
Go ahead.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say, Corey was at the State Fair 2 years ago and played on the stage behind us, our store at the State Fair. And man, oh man, does he rock. And I think Annie Humphrey has one of the cleanest, clearest, beautiful voices I've heard. Really. Yeah. It's a really good voice. So go out there if you can.
He rivals anybody else in the rhythm and blues category as well. So, and then next week, I know there's some conflict with an event that you're going to be doing a remote broadcast from right there at All My Relations, I believe. But at the same time, we've got Mukwa Coffee House up in Roseville. That's 2815 Hamlin Avenue North. They're going to be starting up their 2024 book club, their Native or Indigenous book club, and they have a wonderful selection for this month called Stolen. It's Anne Helen Lestadius. She is a Sami writer. That book, it's a story, it chronicles the story of a young woman. It's a fiction, and her story about trying to restore reindeer herding in the northern climates there in Scandinavia, and the opposition she faces, both within the Sami community and also from the larger Norwegian community there. That's going to be at 6 p.m. So if you're more literary inclined, go and check that out. But there's just so much that's going on here locally. We've had Heide Erdrich installed recently, just last week, as our Minneapolis Poet Laureate.
Yeah, and she was on the show yesterday.
Oh, great. Okay. Sorry, I didn't catch that.
Thanks for listening to the show, Roya.
I hate to admit that. Well, I listened to the playback on Friday nights after my program there. Okay. But we also had Hennepin Theater Arts and All My Relations Arts there. I don't know if Robert Lilgren mentioned this, but they just announced their new cadre of fellows. There's some wonderful young artists who are in, and I think some middle-aged artists as well, that are going to be involved in the next year. Courtney Cochran, who we all know as a filmmaker, she is she's going to be their mentor for the next year. So a lot of great art that's going on here in the Twin Cities.
Absolutely. And I don't know if you're familiar with, but we had Willard on. What's Willard's last name, Haley?
Willard Mailbear.
Have you heard of him? He's unbelievable. He's blowing up. He's a tattoo artist, but he also has a free studio for anyone in Minneapolis to go to. They can pay what they want, but brushes and everything are there, and go in there and do some art. And so, like you said, the Twin Cities here is full of art and reading and artists and radio shows.
Well, that's just a good segue into... you know, Sunday is the closing of this wonderful In Our Hands photography exhibit at the Minneapolis Institute of Art. It's subtitled 1890 to the Present. Here, and I'll show you. Look at that wonderful beaded bracelet that was gifted to me by, what is her name now? I know Haley knows her well, who was one of the curators there at Kara Jade. I'm stumbling now over her name. I had it written down. I don't see it now. So anyway, she was one of the curators, and she brought in a lot of young artists there into the exhibition. So just a big shout out to her tonight if she's listening.
Wow, that's awesome. And I'm sure she is listening. So that's good. Evroya? Thank you so much, Big Pini Gigi, for the update. Give a quick shout out where we can hear you on Friday nights on KFAI what time?
90.3 FM in Minneapolis, and then also streaming at KFAI.org. I'm going to have some wonderful music tomorrow night by Julia Keefe, who is a big band leader. Oh. She just premiered a whole new extended play in at Birdland in Manhattan. And so we're going to be playing some of those selections.
Wow, I got to listen in. I'm a big jazz person. Roya Pinigigi, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier.
See you tomorrow.
Located
Ithaca's choice for news, talk, and sports. News from the center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The U.S. and the U.K. launched airstrikes against Houthi targets in Yemen in response to repeated attacks on commercial ships in the Red Sea.
From initial reports, it looks like they not only went after the sites where they launched these Iranian-supplied weapons, they went after multiple, if not dozens, of storage facilities, which is exactly what we needed to do. We needed to degrade their ability to attack these ships, our ships, and these commercial ships, particularly how this does affect global economies around the world and the world's energy supply.
ABC News contributor Mick Mulroy, a former Deputy Secretary of Defense for the Middle East. The Pentagon's Inspector General wants to know why U.S.